We're holding on page Tzadik Zayin in Brachos, third line towards the end of Os Kuf Lamed. We started talking yesterday about the various brachos that you say in the morning. So the Gemara started giving the whole list of them. We actually had, by the way the Gemara said it was, when you do this, then you say this bracha, and when you do that, you say that bracha. So first of all, you have the Rambam Taka holds that you only say the bracha only if you actually did the thing. So for example, the Rambam writes, if you didn't actually hear the rooster crow, you wouldn't say the bracha on Nois HaMasech Libin. If one day you don't wear a belt, then you wouldn't say Oizer Yisrael B'Gvura and so forth with the other ones. Most of the posts can disagree with that and say that you can say them even if you didn't do the particular thing because it is minhogish shel olam. We do actually have, we tach don't say shasali kol tzorki on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, but the other ones we do say. You also have the question whether you say them individually as you do the things or whether you say them all bunched up together. So eventually over time, the minhag developed to say them all bunched up together and befrat also, especially so that fits with the idea that you're saying from minhogah shel olam, you're not only saying for the fact that you personally did these things, but for the fact that in general, a person does these things every day. And they've even developed in some places, the minhag to say them together in short. Again, the Rambam is very against that whole thing. And he says that actually in one of his trubas, he says, he speaks very sharply against it, but nevertheless, he basically got outvoted. And that's how everybody says them either by themselves, or sometimes you have, they say them in shul and Amar in the chaz and his motzi everybody. The order that we say them is basically the order we had them in the Gemara with a couple of exceptions that we mentioned so far. One other thing is you have, there's a couple of brachas that are missing in here that we say every day. One of them is the bracha, three of them are the brachas shalai asani goy, shalai asani ovid, shalai asani isha. So those are actually described, those are actually mentioned in a different Gemara in Menachos. And you have the Veltish and Minhag is you say them near the beginning of these brachas. You say Anoisa Masech Bivina, and then right after that, or maybe after the Keach Ibrim, I don't remember, you say Shalai Asani Goy Ovid and Isha. Or Minhag is we say them at the end after Ozu Yisrael B'Gvura and Ozu Yisrael B'Sifara. The Shara Kolo discusses that in a way, the bracha after that, which we're going to talk about now in the Gemara, which is all one long bracha, in a way that's like a miniature Shemona Esrei, in the sense that you're starting with a praise of Hashem and then requesting your needs, which is the core of what Shemona Esrei is all about. So therefore, right before that, I'll be Kabbalah, then you're saying Shalosh Asani Goy Oved Isha, meaning in other words, you're acknowledging and you're thanking Hashem that He gave you your particular way of avodah. Now, having mentioned that, now that leads into now that I have my particular way of avodah, then I'm going to dive into Hashem. So therefore, that's why we do it in that order. Another bracha that's missing that we don't have in the Gemara over here is Hanosim Ayoif Koyach. So in Shulchan Aruch it mentions that bracha was actually composed in the times of Gaoni. At that time there was Tashus Koyach. They realized that there's a weakening in the world. People are not as strong as they used to be, and therefore they need to make a bracha. Therefore, we need to make a bracha that Hashem gives a person the energy to get out of bed and be able to function. There were Rishonim who were against it because in general we say after the time of the Gemara we can't compose our own brachas. Nevertheless, though, the widespread minhag became to say it, and most, if not all, nuschos do have it. Shara Kolo points out another interesting thing in this connection. He brings from earlier Sfarim that actually it's not just about the physical Tashus Koyach that we have, it's also the Ruchniyistika weakening that we have in particular against the Minim, against the various groups that disbelieve in parts of Yiddishkeit, and we have a hard time with them. The truth is, in the time of the Gaonim, you had the Koroim came along, and for a while they were very powerful in Jewish life. So it may have been in connection with that. And so he says, in the same way, for example, as there was added in Shemona Esrei, bracha connected the minim. So originally you started with 18, and then you added another one, and you have here and there throughout davening where we have things where there's 18, and then a 19th one was added to correspond to that. So it is over here. This bracha was added not only because of the physical weakness that we experience, but also because of the ruchniyistik weakness against the minim that we thank Hashem for giving us the strength to be able to stand up against them. And he points out, by the way, a very interesting thing. He says, in Shemona Esrei, the Birkas HaMinim is number 12. Now, if you count the three brachas, the first three brachas as one, which for certain purposes in halacha they are, for example, in halacha, if you make a mistake during one of the first three, you forget akel hakadosh, you forget amalach hakadosh during aseres mitzvah, for example, you forget mashav berachah mor degeshem, whatever, then you have to start over from the beginning. So therefore, then actually you come out that v'lam hashinim comes out as the 10th bracha. In Birkas HaShachar, where is Hanoisim Ayoth Koyach? The 10th bracha. In Yehi Chavod, you have a pasuk Rabbis Machshavas Belev Ish, which is the only one in there that's a pasuk from Mishle. All the other ones are pasukim from Tilim. It's also Keneged the Minim. They have many thoughts. Vasashah and Dokum. And which one is that? Also number 10. So there's this idea that every place where we're adding something Keneged the Minim, it's the 10th one in the sequence. Anyway, so that's a noisim ayot. So now continuing in the Gemara. Ki moshi yode, when a person washes his hands, lema, then he says, the bracha, baruch Hashem, kedushanim mitzvahis, v'tzvona al netilas yadayim. Now here in the Gemara, we have that near the end. And even after putting on, we had before, he's putting on towels and tefillin already before that. Because we talked about yesterday, there was the idea, in those days, they were on a higher level of kedusha. When they woke up in the morning, they didn't have such a tumma on their hands that they need to actually wash first thing in the morning. They can just like rinse their fingertips or something, and then that's good enough. And then only later on, when they're preparing for davening, Then you wash your hands. Like, yeah, people, like you have. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to wash your hands before davening, aside from the washing your hands in the morning. So now, in that sense, then, before they go into the main part of davening, which again, Amaver Sheni Me'erna is like a miniature Shemini Esrei, then they would wash. We wash earlier, and therefore we say, Al Netilas Yadayim. Ki Moshi Ape, then when he washes his face, Lema, then he says the bracha, Baruch Hamavir Chevle Shena Me'enai, Hashem takes away sleep from my eyes, because now you washed your face, you washed your eyes, so now you don't feel the sleep, the crustiness on your eyes anymore, or Snuma Me'afapai, and Hashem removes slumber from my eyelids, and we continue with the bracha, it's all one long bracha. May it be your will, Hashem, my God, that you should make me accustomed to keeping your Torah, which we have, and most Nuschois also have, Beloshin Rabbim, because in general, we daven Beloshin Rabbim. In general, the Gemara says elsewhere, a person should always include himself together with the Tzibur when he davens or says brachas, so therefore it's more appropriate to say it in Loshin Rabbim, and that's how we do. So, v'dabkeini m'mitzvesecha, and connect me to your mitzvahs. Val to be any loy the day chate, don't bring me to chate, which is mistaken averus, v'loy the day oven, or not to deliberate averus, v'loy the day nisoyen, and not to being tempted, v'loy the day vizoyen, or to any kind of humiliation, v'choyfas yitzri li shtabed loch, control, subjugate my yetzahara, that it should be subjugated to you. V'rachakeni me'odem ra, keep me far away from a bad person, or me'chover ra, and from a bad friend. V'dabkeini b'yetzatov, connect me to the yetzatov or a chaver tov, and to a good friend, ba'olamecha, in your world. On nusach is slightly different. Again, you have different nuschos that the rishonim have that differ a little bit from this. Usneini hayom v'chol yom, and give me today and every day that I should have l'chein, that I should have grace or l'chesed and kindness or l'rachmim and mercy ba'inecha in your eyes or ba'inechol royai in the eyes of all those who see me. V'sigmaleini chasadim tovim, and give me good chasadim. And we finish off Baruch Atah Hashem, Goyim Chasadim Tovim Am Yisrael, who grants good chasadim to his people Yisrael. So that's the last bracha of this whole list of Birkas HaShachar. Why are we saying at this point, why after thanking Hashem that he removed sleep from our eyes, why are we continuing with this whole long nusach? So one point is, now that we're starting a new day and we're recognizing that now we've done everything to prepare for the new day, now we're asking Nevisha to help us in our avodah for the day. There's also an interesting point. One of the Mefarshim says that there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that sleep is good for the Rishoyim and good for the world, in the sense that when the Rishoyim are sleeping, at least they can't make trouble. So now we're saying, Hashem, you woke me up, then at least don't help me not to be a Rosha. Help me that my getting up should be good for the world rather than the opposite. So those are the morning brachas. Next, the Mishnah continues. Chayev adam levorach al ha'ra, a person is obligated to bless Hashem for the bad things that happened to him. Kashem shemavorach al ha'tova, just as he blesses for the good. And we'll see in the Gemara what that means. Shenema, the pasuk is v'ahavta as Hashem alakecha b'chol levavcha b'gomer. You should love Hashem with all your heart, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol ma'idecha. So let's douse in those phrases. B'chol levavcha means b'shnei yitzarecha. You love Hashem with both of your yitzarim, both of your inclinations, b'yetzatov or b'yetzahara or b'yetzara. So of course, you know, we have Tanya these days, the whole Tanya, the whole first part of Tanya is essentially how you go about doing that, how you go about turning your Yetzirah into something that's going to love the Eibishter. You have a long thing over here that Eitz Yosef brings from Sfarim on the subject that you have, for example, a person's Yetzirah is Parshatis Taibus. So then when he overcomes those, he brings himself that he wants to serve Hashem. He doesn't want anything else. That's what it means to make his Yetzirah love Hashem. And again, Tanya, at least the first part of it, Sefer Shalbeinanim, is basically a manual how to accomplish that. When it continues with all your soul, that means even if the Eibishter is taking away your nefesh, even if he's taking away your life, nevertheless, you still love him, as we're going to have later on in the story of Rabbi Akiva, for example. Means to love Hashem with all your wealth, even if a person has to give everything that he has in order to be over on a lot. Eitz Yosef points out over here that's different with a mitzvah saseh. There you have to have a limitation. A person is only required to spend up to a fifth of his nechassim on a mitzvah saseh. And elsewhere, the Gemara mentions also for hidur mitzvah, then you add up to 50% of the base price to do hidur mitzvah. But for lois saseh, a person has to be ready to give away all of his money. That's the hafter Hashem b'chol ma'odecha b'chol ma'moncha. Dover acha, another explanation, b'chol ma'odecha means b'chol mida u'mida shu moided loch. You're darshin the word. So the first explanation is ma'odecha means your power. The word ma'od means very much. So therefore, it means your power, which is your money. Your money can be called your money can be called your power. When you have, for example, so it means that you think that your power has given you this wealth. So we see that koyach and then wealth are very closely connected. But the other explanation is we're doubting in the word ma'od meloshin mid. B'chol mido mido shu moided lach. Every midah that Hashem gives you, that Hashem measures out to you, have ma'od, be very grateful, be very thankful to Hashem. So Eitz Yosef points out that we find the word ma'od is used a lot of times in connection with tzaris. For example, this week's parasha, you have Devar covered ma'od, and other examples like that. You also have that good things also go together with ma'od. So therefore, it means that it means whichever kind of ma'od you have, either way, have ma'od aloy, be ma'od ma'od. So the Gemara says, when we say Chayav Adam Levarech, or when you say you have to say the bracha on Ra the same as on Tova, so my Chayav, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean that you say the actual same nusach of the bracha for both of them? We know it's not so. We learned in the Mishnah, for rain, like we talked about the other day, when there's been a drought for a while and then the rain is very appreciated, or when you got good news, then you say bracha to Hashem, who's good and does good. And by the way, we didn't really talk about it before, but the difference is you say atoyva meitiv when it's good that benefits you as well as others. When it's good that benefits you only, then you say shechiyon. But in any case, so aval shmuis rois, I'm a baruch dynamis. For bad news, you say baruch dynamis. So you don't actually say the same nusach of the bracha. There's an interesting footnote over here from bringing from Shnois Eliyahu, which is chedushim by the Vilna Gaon. Why is the expression besuris toivus versus shmuis rois? So he says an interesting chat, because when there's good news, you should tell it to another person. By all means, make another yid happy, give him good news. So therefore we call it besuris tovus, as in that everybody should be running to come and tell you and then give you the news. The word besuris, and that means like you're coming with the plan to tell the news. On the other hand, bad news, you don't really want to tell. We find the different places in the Gemara. So therefore, it's not nobody necessarily is going to come and tell you. You're going to hear about it through the grapevine, so to speak. So therefore, we call it shmuz. They tell, by the way, an interesting story in that connection involving Rabbi Yitzchok Ochanan Spector, the famous Rav of Kovna, 150 years ago. One time, he had a Talmud who was in danger of being drafted into the army. And finally, somehow or other, the Talmud ends up getting an exemption. So one of his chaverim runs to tell the Rosh Hashiva that the Talmud's potter. And of course, the Rosh Hashiva is very grateful to hear about it. A minute later, another Talmud runs in with the same news. And the first bacher is about to tell him, it's fine, I already told him. Rabbi Yehonatan, no, I want to hear. And each time he's like hearing as if it was new and agog and so thankful over and over again. And finally, one of them asked him, and you already heard it a dozen times, what's the big chiddush? He says like this, you know, why not give a yid nachas ruach, that he let him think, he's back at the first one to give me the news. So that's besuras tovus. That's what we're saying over here, that when there's good news, you should always have an incentive to want to give it. Anyway, the point being, in other words, yeah. That's something. Oh, that right. So the Rebbe always felt like he has all the time for them, right? There was also, by the way, worth mentioning, since you're mentioning the Rebbe and this connection, the Rebbe often commented on the fact people are always bringing him bad news. People are not bringing him enough good news. He wanted to hear more of it. Yeah. The point is, the Gemara is asking that when the Mishnah says Levarach al Ra Kishem Shemavarach al Tova, it can't mean the same nusach, because in fact there are different nusachos. So Rava says, right, what it means is that you have to accept, it means that you should accept what Hashem does besimcha, whether it seems good or whether not. So now where do we know this from? Omer Rava Babachana Omer Rav Yechanan Orub Shmuel Banachmeni Omer to Omakra, you have a pasuk in Tehillim, Bashem Ahalal Dover Beilikim Ahalal Dover. It actually says it the other way around, the pasuk Beilikim Ahalal Dover Bashem Ahalal Dover, whatever. Bashem, now we know Hashem Havaya is Midas Arachmim, Elikim is Midas Adim. So Bashem Ahalal Dover, when he says, when David says, I'll praise Hashem about the thing, that means Zumida Tova. That means when he has a good midah, where he recognizes that comes from Shem Havaya. Be'lekima, halal dover, and I'll also praise Hashem with the name of Lekim, Zumiras Puranus. That means even when there's a punishing thing, because I realize that because I realize that it's for the good, as the Gemara is going to say soon, Kolman to Ovid, Rachman Latav Ovid, and you have the Ein Yod and Ein Ra Yod Minashamayim and other such expressions. You have the famous thing, Geras Yud Aleph of Tanya talks about that, Laskil Chabina talks about that, about how a person has to realize, even when he's going through hard times, that Ein Ra Yod Milamayla. You have the famous story in that connection involving the Rebbe's grandfather and Rav Osher Grossman, where the Rebbe's grandfather, Rav Meir Simcha, was he was also the Rav of Nikolaev in town over there. You also had Rav Osher Shuv Nikolaev. You can find him mentioned in the first few pages of Tanya. There's Askama over there where he bought the rights to print the Tanya and then printed it on behalf of the Rebbe Rashab. Anyway, our Rebbe's bris was on Chol Hamoed Pesach. He was born in Aleph Nissan. His bris was a week later on Chai Nissan. So the bris was held by Rav Meir Shlomo's house. Rav Osher didn't want to eat by Rav Meir Shlomo. He had the minhag. You don't eat. Many people have the minhag. You don't eat by other people's houses on Pesach. So Rav Meir Shlomo calls him over and he says, you know, Osher, I mean, you know, really, I should be upset at you. I mean, you know, my kashrus is beyond reproach. But how can I be angry at you? You saved my life. So what's the story? The story is that a few years earlier, there had been an epidemic in town of typhus or some such contagious disease. They had to take the sick people outside the city and keep them in quarantine over there. And who knows what was going to happen. One of the people who got sick was Rav Meir Shlomo. So when Rav Osher heard about it, he went there as fast as possible. He couldn't go into the building again because they're under quarantine, but he stood outside and started reading out loud this Igeres from Tanya, Laskil Chabina, about Ein Ra Yod Milamayla. And he came back there every single day and did that. And Rav Meir Simcha says that gave me the koyach to be able to live through the illness and recover. So yeah. Anyway, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Abahu, or Rabbi Acha Mishum Rabbi Levi Oma Mehocha. You have a different posik that also expresses the same idea. Chesed u'mishpat ashira, David HaMelech says, I sing to you about chesed, which is about kindness, u'mishpat and judgment, ashira, I will sing, l'cha Hashem azamera, to you Hashem, I'll make music. Im l'chesed ashira, im l'mishpat ashira. So regardless whether what I'm experiencing is open chesed, or whether it seems to be mishpat, either way, I'm singing to Hashem. Rav Tanchum Oma Mehocha, another pasuk, Kos Yeshua Sesa, Rishem Hashem Ekra, and I'll lift up the cup of salvation and I'll call out in the name of Hashem. And a few psukim earlier in the capital, you have Sod of Yog and Emtsa, Rishem Hashem Ekra. I find trouble and pain and I call in the name of Hashem. So it means, again, the same idea. You have the Shem Hashem in connection with both of them also, and we see that David HaMelech is expressing the same idea that either way I lift up the cup and I call on the name of Hashem, that I recognize it's all coming from Hashem and it's all good. Rabbanan Amri, and the Rabbanan say yet another source, Amakra, you have the Pasuk in Iyov, after he had the first set of disasters that happened to him. His children were killed, and all of his cattle and everything were killed and taken captive and whatnot. He says, Hashem nosan v'Hashem wakach, Hashem gave, Hashem took, yehi shem Hashem mevernach, may Hashem's name be blessed. So we see, in other words, that he said that he's blessing Hashem, both for the fact that he gave him all of this, and then they took it away. So the Gemara continues. By the way, with all of this, of course, we do have to realize this is something for a person to realize for themselves. Or, you know, you have the rare example of like Rav Osher with Rav Meir Simcha, where you can tell it to somebody else because he knows on that level. Ordinarily, you know, you don't say to somebody your troubles are all your fault or the Eibishter is doing it for your good or whatever. Ordinarily, that's a no'as dvarim. Anyway. And with Iyov himself, actually, the first speech of one of his friends over there, Eliphaz HaTimoni, is saying basically that you should realize the Eibishter is fair, and if something wrong has happened to you, it must be your own fault. And the Gemara man and the Gemara and Bava Metzia explains that this is a nas dvarim, and you're not supposed to do that. So the Gemara continues. Amar of Huna Amar Rab Mishum Rav Meir V'chein Tona Mishmei Rav Akiva. We learn also a brisa in the name of Rav Akiva like this. La'olam Yehel Adam Rogel Loima Called the Avdim Min Shmai L'Tav. A person should always be in the habit of saying whatever they do for me Min Hashemayim is good. You have in Tainis, it also tells in this connection, it has the story of Nochum Ish Gamzu. It doesn't have it here in the Gemara, but there you have the expression that he would always say Gamzu L'Toyva. And Rabbi Akiva, as the Gemara is saying over here, would say called the Abed Rachman L'Tab Abed. There's a Sicha in one in Chelik Aleph or Beis of the Kodesh Sichas, where the Rebbe discusses the difference that Nochum Ish Gamzu lived when the Beis Mikdash was still standing. There was a greater Gilui of a course in the world. Therefore, he could express this point in Lashon Kodesh. Rabbi Akiva lived through the Churban, but he was mostly active in the decades after the Churban. So in his times then there wasn't such a gilui elikus, so it couldn't be expressed in Lashon Kodesh. It had to be expressed in a lower level language, only in Aramaic. Anyway, Kihod Rabbi Akiva have also Barucha. We have the example that Rabbi Akiva was one time traveling on the road. He had with him a donkey and a rooster and a candle. The rooster part of the donkey, we understand, was for him to ride on when he's tired or for him to carry his packages or whatever. The candle, we also understand, so he could learn at night. Rashi adds that the rooster was there to wake him up. Matahai Dukta, he came to a certain place, to a certain city, Bo Ushpiza. He asked for somebody to put him up for the night. Veloyabule, they didn't want to give him, then nobody wanted to let him in. Omar, so he says, called the Abin Ishmael, Latav, whatever Hashem does is for the good. I'm sure there must be a good reason for this. Ozo Bos Bedabra, so he went and to stay overnight in the forest or in the field or whatever, someplace out in the middle of nowhere. Osa Aya Achla Lachamre, that night a lion came and ate up his donkey. Also Shunra Achla Tanagola, then a cat came and ate his rooster. Also Zika Kabula Shnaga, and a wind came and put out his candle. Still, Omer called the Avdin Mishmael Latav. Babylonia, that night, Osa Gayosa, a troop of soldiers came, Shabula Masa, and took everybody in the city prison.
Wow.
Omer Lahu, so he says to them, who's the Lahu? It could mean his Talmidim, he told afterwards. It could even mean maybe people left over from the city. There may have been fugitives from the city who got into that same forest where he spent the night. Who knows? Anyway, he says, Hainu da'ami, this is what I said, called the Abdin Mishmael Atab, that everything Hashem does is for the good. If the donkey had been alive, if the candle had been burning, then they would have seen me. And if the camel and if the donkey or the rooster had been alive, they would have made noise, and the robbers would have seen me, and they would have gotten me as well. Continues the Gemara. The Amar of Huna Amar Rav Mishum Rav Meir. La Olam Yiu Dvarav Shal Adam Mu'atim Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. A person's words should always be few in front of Hashem. Which means, in other words, Maharsha says that. So first of all, I mean, this is a continuation of what we said before. So obviously, it has to somehow connect with what we said before. So on the face of it, what does it have to do? And the pasuk itself that Rameyer was going to quote says Yud Dvarecha Ma'atim. So he explains like this. Maharsha says that it means, in other words, when a person is having trouble, So he's going to, so if he starts talking too much about it, he's apt to start overthinking it and start being maharer that maybe it's not fair that Hashem is doing this. So he, instead he should daven for rachamim. But even when he's davening for rachamim, let him not talk too much about it. Let him just say a brief tefillah rather than going into every detail where again, then it's likely to be too much on his mind and to start thinking that maybe Hashem, to start thinking that Hashem is treating him unfairly or something. Chas v'shalom. So a person's words should always be few in front of Hashem. The pasuk says, the pasuk says, don't be so quick with your mouth. And the pasuk continues, your tongue shouldn't be so quick to speak in front of Hashem because Hashem is up there and you're down here. Therefore, your words should be few. So in other words, don't be so quick. The Eibishter has done you something which you don't appreciate. Don't be so quick to complain to Hashem. And as Marisha is saying, even when you are davening about it, keep it brief. So you don't start overthinking it and start obsessing over it. Derech Agav, by the way, the Evan Ezra on that pasuk explains also that there's another meaning of the pasuk as well. He says it means poshut in davening. You have the words that the Anshe Knesset Gedolah set up for us. You don't have to start making up a whole bunch of long tefillahs of your own that beyond above and beyond that. And he goes into a long, long thing over there. He goes on a complete rant over there against Rebbe Elazar HaKaller. He has such long piyutim and it's hard to understand them and the diktuk of them isn't even correct and so on and so forth. So the Evan Ezra himself was a Python. He composed some piyutim that are said Ader Yemazeh, but he didn't particularly appreciate some of the Pythonim from before him. Anyway, the Gemara goes on, Piska, b'chol levovcha b'shnei yitzarecha. So we said the Mishnah had said that when it says v'ahavtas Hashem alakecha b'chol levovcha means that you should love Hashem with both of your yitzarim, your yetzer tov and your yetzer hara. So let's talk a little bit about the yetzer tov and the yetzer hara. Dorash Reb Nachman Bar Chista. My dichtiv vayitzer Hashem b'shnei yudin. The pasuk says when it says that Hashem created Adam and Chava, or created Adam and then afterwards created Chava out of him. So it says vayitzer with two b'shnei yudin. So beis yitziras halalu lama. So why do you have two yudin representing that Hashem created twice? Means echad the tova v'echad the peronis. Means one for good and one for good, one for reward and one for punishment. Or different girsa, shnei yitzarim bara akadosh baruch hu, means that Hashem created two inclinations in a person, echad yetzer tov ve'echad yetzer ra. Now this is before the chet eitz hadas, to be sure. Now before the chet eitz hadas, they didn't actually have Eitz Yosef points out over here that they weren't yodea tov v'ra. What it is before the chet eitz hadas, they had a yetzer ra, but it was more inclined to good. So in other words, I guess in Tanya terms, you could say it was more like the vestigial Yetzer Ra that's left by a tzaddik, which is noted to good. Afterwards, after the Eitz and the Chet Eitz Hadas, then it got transformed into actually looking for Ra. Anyway, so that's the two yods. So the Gemara says, "Maskev lo Ramnachem vayitzchak elamay ata gabe behema." Well, in that case, then by an animal, d'loik sibba vayitzer. Where it doesn't say vayitzer, where in fact when it says vayitzer, but only with one yud. So hochinamidol it shalak lo yitzer hara or less lo yitzra. Do you mean that it doesn't have a yitzer? V'okachazim the mask of a noshcho bata. We see that an animal does have a yitzer ra. It's mazik. It bites. It kicks. It has it's not a yitzer hara like a person has, but still, in other words, it has a nefesh of Bahamas, which powers the yitzer hara. And on the other hand, vice versa, it has, so to speak, a yetzer. It has, so to speak, a yetzer toiv, because in other words, you can use it after all for useful work. So it can't be that's really the difference between nevertheless, Rashi on the pasuk does mention that point based on Medrash Rabba that yes, in fact, by a person it says with two yuds, and by an animal it says only one, because essentially an animal only has one yetzer. An animal really only has a yetzer ra. The fact that you can control it and use it for useful work is not so much a yetzer of it. It's still after all a selfish thing. It's doing it for reward of some kind after all. But here the Gemara doesn't like that explanation. Ela kedid of Shimon ben Pazin. Rather, we have to understand the Vayitzer, like the way that Shimon and Pazi understands it, the Omar, where he says, and he repeats it later on in the Sugya, Oli mi Yotzri, Oli mi Yitzri. Woe from my Yotzer, from my creator, and Oli and Oi from my Yetzer. In other words, I'm kind of caught between two, I'm caught between two extremes. On the other hand, my Yotzer, the one who created me, wants me to do one thing. On the other hand, my Yetzer wants me to do something else. And I'm sort of stuck. I'm sort of being pulled in two directions. So Marsha explains, in other words, when it says Vay Yitzer, we can darshan it Vay Yetzer. So therefore, in other words, and since you have the two yuds, it's as if it says twice vine. So I'm in trouble no matter which one, so to speak. Also, he says that vayitzer can also be understood as a nutriko, and it can be understood almost as like initials for vai rosha, vai tzaddik, vai rosha, vai the vav yud tzaddik, as it says the tzaddik of the word vayitzer, and resh is the rosha. So Vai from the Tzaddik, which is Hashem, and then Vai from the Rosha, which is the Yetzer Hara. So no matter which one I follow, then the other one is trying to pull me in the other direction. So that's one meaning. Inami could Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Another meaning of the Vayitzer with the two Yuds could be like what Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar says. Da'am Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, du partzufin bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'Adam HaRishon. Hashem created Adam HaRishon with two faces. Shenema Ocher Vakedem Tzartoni, as the pasuk says in Kapitel Kuf Lamed Tes, which that kapitel was first said by Adam HaRishon, and then David HaMelech later on rewrote it and incorporated it into him. And he uses the expression, "You created me back and front." Now, if it just meant, in other words, that of course a person has a back and a front, there's no chiddush in it, there'd be no reason to mention that. So it means that Adam HaRishon is saying that originally Hashem, you created me with a back and a front, which eventually became separately me and Chav. So therefore, that's the Vayitzer represents that to begin with Hashem created Adam as a dual being. So let's talk about that some more. The pasuk is Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Hatzela. Hashem built up the tzela. Now, in the simple meaning, tzela means a rib, and there is, in fact, Medrash says that literally it was a rib. And then the Medrash described that like Hashem was deciding, so to speak, which part of a person to create Chava, which part of Adam to create Chava from, and eventually he settled on the rib because it's one of the most sneistic areas of the body. It's covered even when it's covered by your arms, it's covered by your clothing, whatever, and therefore it represents that women this way will have a tendency to be sneistic. But our Gemara is taking a different view that the word Selah doesn't mean rib, but rather it means a side. So Rav and Shmuel. So Rav and Shmuel argue what that selah means. Chad om a partzuf. One says it means a complete form of a person. So in other words, that Adam and Chava were created literally as Siamese twins, where one body facing away from the other, and then Hashem split them apart. V'chad om a zonav. The other one says a zonav, which literally a zonav means a tail. Eitz Yosef points out that actually it could work. With the Medrash that says that it was a rib. We do find in some places where the word zonav doesn't specifically mean a tail, but rather an extra part of the body. And the Maharal, for example, points that out when we have by Vashti in Megillah, when it says that she grew a tail, you know, and the kids always have fun with it. But the Maharal, another Mephoshim say, doesn't necessarily literally mean a tail. It means that she grew some extra appendage on her body maybe she gained a couple of extra pounds. She looked at herself in the mirror, she weighed herself on the scale and found that she weighs a couple of extra pounds, and now she's embarrassed to come out in front of Achashverosh and company. So what?
Wait,
that's the thing. So the word zonav can mean something extra that usually shouldn't be there. So yeah, for her, where she's watching her weight, then a zonav could be something like that. Yeah. So the same way over here, the zonav could mean that Hashem created Adam to begin with an extra rib, and now he took it away and created Chava with it, according to the opinion zonav. What?
Can you have another wife than
Lilith? That's there's a Zoya that says something along those lines that originally it was Lilith, one of the queen of the Shadim, and it didn't work out. And yeah, I mean, Bechlal, you have a Gemara elsewhere that says that before Hashem created, Rashi brings it on the pasuk, that before Adam created Chava, that he had Adam check out all the animals and learn Skara Daita, and he realized it's not going to work out, and then therefore Hashem made Chava and married them off to each other. So that can be included in that also, that Hashem had him try out is a shed going to be an appropriate zibug for Adam, and it turns out that not, it doesn't work out. Yeah.
Potiphar
The parts of means a face. Right, but Rashi, so Rashi explains, Echad Melefonim, but Echad La'achrav, but Socha L'Shnayim, but also in Echad Eschaba. So one of them was made in Bechaba. Later on, according to that, it may have been two separate bodies that are joined together. Oh yeah, I mean, the word Paritzuf doesn't only mean a face. It means like a configuration, so like a shape of a body, yeah. The Maharal, by the way, points out that part of the argument over here, Rav and Shmuel, about Paritzuf and Zanav, might be the question, what is woman relative to man, basically? Is she equally important? Well, then in that case, she was a paritzuf. She was created as a separate human being, fully formed as Adam was, or is she more like tuffel to the man, in the sense the man is the one who has the more mitzvahs, he's the one who learns Torah, he's the one who accomplishes more the purpose of dira b'tachtonim, and the woman is the ezer kenegdo, he helps him out. So in that sense, like so to speak, you could say she's subsidiary, and in that case, that would be the opinion that says that she's zonah. Maybe better don't tell that over to your wives. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, "B'shleim alamanda am a paritzuf." So I can understand, according to the opinion, that Chava was created to begin with as a paritzuf, as a complete configuration. Well, then that explains the pasuk that we just quoted from Tillim, where Adam Rishon says, "You created me back and front." So in other words, he's recognizing that Hashem created two, the word sartoni, in other words, has meloshin yitzira. So Hashem created me. Hashem created me as two separate beings joined together. Elom under am a zonov, but if it's only a zonov, an extra part of the body, my och of a kedem sartoni. So what is that? So what's being expressed by that expression? And the answer is kedirab am. In that case, then we understand the word sartoni differently. We understand it meloshin sar. Means Adam Rishon was the last thing created by Ma'aseh Bereishis, but he was the first one when it came to punishment. Which means, in other words, that Marsha says, now if it meant as far as creation, if it meant Sartoni, Meloshin Yitzira, then Rab Ami is bothered by why are we mentioning the back first? Why are we saying Ocher and then Ked? So therefore, he says, it makes more sense for it to mean Meloshin Sarah, and it means, in that case, the Ocher came first, because Adam was created, the first thing that happened was Adam was created last among all the creatures, and then Vakedem, then after that, by Chetet Adas, came the punishment first. Or actually, not by the Chetet Adas, the Gemara is going to explain soon a different Paranus. So the question is, Bishlema Ochla Ma'aseh Bereishis, okay, I understand what it means that he was created last in Ma'aseh Bereishis, it means exactly what it sounds like. Hainu Deloi Vroi Yad Ma'aleh Shabzeh, he wasn't created till Friday. And even on Friday, he was created after the Behemoth and Chayis. Ella, the Kedem of Puranus, but when we say that Adam was first, as far as punishment, Puranus demai. Which punishment are we talking about? Elema Puranus de Klala or de Nochosh. Do we mean when they were cursed after the Chetei Tadas? So no, Valtanya, Rebbe or Rebbe or Omer, Bigdula Maschilim and Agadol. We have a general rule that when it comes to things of greatness, you start with the greater one first. You first address the greater one and give him his honor, and then you speak to the lesser one. Over Kalkola, when it comes to that something is messed up and there needs to be rebuke and punishment, Maschilim Minakot, and then you begin from the lesser one. And we see that Bigdula. Now, Marsha points out, it's true, of course, in the Pesukim, Hashem speaks to the Nachash first. But look, you could say, in Muktumum Ocha Batorah. So therefore, the Braisa, though, clearly states that the fact that the Nachash is first in the Pesuk is not just in Muktumum Ocha Batorah, but that's, in fact, the way Hashem did it. He first spoke to the Nachash. He first spoke to the Nachash, sorry, he first spoke to Adam, but he punished the Nachash first. After we have, Hashem speaks to Adam, Ayemalei Ayek. And then Amino Eitz Hashetz V'Sicha, and Adam gives his excuse. Then Hashem speaks to Chaba, then he speaks to the Nachash. But then when it comes to the actual punishment, Hashem started with the Nachash first. So you have that first in the Pasuk. Only then do you have Chaba, and only then do you have Adam, but you could have said, Ein Muktim Avocha Latorda. But the Braisa is making it clear that that's tack of the order it was in. So Begdula Maschilim and Agadol, when it comes to things of greatness, you begin with the Gadol first, Lichtiv. It says that Moshe spoke after Nadav and Abihu had passed away. He spoke to Aaron, and then to Elazar and Isamar, his leftover sons. So Marsha points out, in other words, now we know they're the only ones left over. We know originally Aaron had four sons, and two of them are gone now. So the fact that it lists their names, the fact that it didn't say Aaron of one of Hanisorim, means, in other words, that it was specifically not just because Aaron is their father, but because he's more important than them. Therefore, the pasuk mentions his name first. When it comes to punishment, we begin with the lesser one. First, the snake was cursed. All of a sudden, Adam. So what do we mean that Adam was the first for Puranus? On the contrary, he was the third. Ella Puranus the Mabul. Rather, we mean the Puranus, the punishment, when it came to the Mabul. The pasuk says that Hashem wiped out all the creatures, all the living creatures that were on the face of the earth. May Adam ba'ad behema. From man to animal, meaning b'reisha adam b'hodr behem. So first man was punished. First the people were killed, and then the animals. And now Marsha explains, because once it said vayimachas kol hayikum, it didn't have to mention adam or behema. So it must mean it's coming to tell us what the order was: first adam, then behem. What's the reason behind that? So Ion Yaakov explains, you know, you have the nichnas rishon yotza achron, that a lot of times whatever comes in first leaves last. So therefore, since Adam came into the world first, so therefore he came into the world last. Therefore he's taken out of the world first.
He created the last one,
and therefore when it comes to the marble, he's the first one removed from the world. So anyway, sort of Ami is saying that's what Ochav Akedem Sartoni means. Rab Ami following the opinion that Chava was not created as a full paratzuf, but only as a zonav. So he understands the Ochav Akedem to be referring to something else, not that there were originally two paratzufim, but rather the Adam was the last one created and the first one wiped out of time and the Mabul. So we'll continue. We'll continue afterwards. We'll continue on Sunday, Best Hashem, and continue analyzing this whole Pautzuk versus Zohar thing, and how Adam and Chava were creating. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Geula, Chof Vav Tevis. So we talked about yesterday. We had an excerpt from a sicha where the Rebbe talked about influencing the goyim to observe Sheva Metzuvin Nayach. So again, the Rebbe reiterated this point another time that you have to be poil on them to be involved with tzedakah, because the tzedakah in particular was mechapel for Bnei Nayach. So the hurrah the Rebbe talked about was to be poil on the umas olam to be involved in tzedakah. And we see nowadays it's much easier to get people to do tzedakah, both when it comes to umas olam and when it comes to Bnei Yisrael. And you have also, you know, you have there's a whole discussion in halacha to what extent are Bnei Noach chayiv in tzedakah. It's not officially one of their sheva mitzvahs, but there is the idea that they are chayiv in it. And there's also a whole sugya in Bava Basra, where the Gemara brings several drushes on a pasuk chesed l'umim chatas, and after it brings a number of them where the Gemara has mostly a bunch of negative things to say, mostly about the chesed of the umas olam, but then it finishes off with a positive one from Yechon ben Zakkai, who says the comparison is just like a chatas is mechaper for the Jewish people, so tzedakah is mechaper on the umas olam. Halacha, continuing on halachas of brachas achronas. So we talked yesterday about fruit that grow, about fruits or nuts or whatever that grow wild. So in the same vein, when you have herbs of various kinds of herbs and plants and whatever that grow by themselves without you planting them, so even though they can be eaten raw, where normally then they'd be hadama, or even you cook them and they're an important food, but again, people don't plant them, so they're only considered charcoal. But let's say, for example, romaine lettuce or other kinds of lettuce, people actually plant it and cultivate it, so you say hadama on it. Even as plants that grow by themselves, if they have chosh of a fruit on them, for example, strawberries or raspberries or things like that, then you do in fact say bura pri hadama on that. The Alter Rebbe also adds that you have a certain kind of berries, like blackberries or something, that are blueberries that grow on something that is considered an actual tree, la halacha, you would say bura pri eitz on them. There are in fact, when it comes to those kinds of things, blueberries and some of the blueberries particular that you have, certain kinds are actually eitz. Even though people think berries are always hadama, there are in fact some kinds that the way they're cultivated may make them hates, in fact.